Next. Who's the chair?
Commissioner Myers.
So Commissioner Myers, you're the vice chair. So we've got Commissioner Myers with us, and Commissioner Taylor, and Commissioner Almquist, Commissioner Hollingshead. So I've got you on the phone. And
morning, Wade.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hopefully you can hear.
I'm just going to call this meeting to order now. It's 9:37 a.m. on Wednesday, June 12th. This is the Southwest Behavioral Health Center Authority Board meeting. And this is a special budget hearing, isn't it?
Yes.
And the location is Festival Hall in Cedar City, Utah. So first action is approval of the May minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, motion to approve the May minutes carries unanimously. Next, we have the approval of the fiscal year 2025 budget, and first we'll have a presentation on
okay.
it.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner.
It looks like it's the tentative budget, though.
Well, it's tentative. It's basically what we had prepared and brought to you last month. So we did have our required public hearing in May, and had an opportunity to, probably too much opportunity, to walk line by line through a lot of this budget. Let me just tell you what you have in front of you. So this budget dated today, actually it's dated the 13th, that's my bad, but this is with one exception the same budget we looked at last month.
Okay,
the only change we made on page one, down at about row 54, which is our Medicaid capitation budget, we have our rates from Medicaid. Don't know exactly how they'll, you know, will shake out for the entire year, but we ultimately added about $20,000 to that figure, which was pretty minor, but revenue on that side.
So expenses, it was about 1.455, and now it's 1.47.
Yes. And where you'll actually notice the difference, just for that point, is if you go to page two, and you look all the way down to row 124, in the column that says tentative fiscal year 2025 budget,
we just lost.
Commissioner, you want to try that, Ruth?
Yes.
Call me back.
124 total expenditures.
Yes. What we had, if you recall, commissioners, well, Commissioner Myers, you recall because you were here. We had $508 of revenue over expense at that time. So where you'll see that $20,000 is just landed there because we haven't adjusted expenses. We left those where they were. So it just ended as revenue over expense. So okay. We'll do that. I think what
you'll
might
get
be...
that spent in short order, right?
Yes. Yeah, it won't take long to spend that $20,000. What you have in the stack, let me just describe that for a minute. So you have the physical budget, operating budget, that ideally we're approving today. Behind that is a little bit more of a generic document that it does have a new date on it for the new fiscal year. We call it our financial plan. It has not changed since last year's plan. It's basically the financial assumptions we make as a center, what we can spend money on, what we can't spend certain dollars on. Federal, for example, our federal block grant money can't be spent on inpatient hospitalization. So we have to make sure there's really no way in the budget to make sure that that doesn't happen. So we have to do it through financial assumptions that we present to the auditors.
Okay.
That's
this is like the general plan.
It is. Just kind of, and it goes through and describes the different revenue sources that we have. Again, some of those assumptions about capital expenditures and match money that we pick from the county and match that we pay to Medicaid. There is a description, kind of a diagram of kind of how money comes through the center from different sources and into different program codes and how that turns into contracted services. And
now, when it says, like, for example, general fund mental health, general fund substance abuse, is that state general fund?
Yes. Okay. Now, probably in this example, I would probably throw my block grant money in there too, the federal dollars. But those turn into program codes. Those program codes basically are outpatient services, case management, hospitals. It's kind of a description of that. So we feel it's important, and if for some reason you felt that you wanted more time on this document, we can approve it any time. But usually we throw that in with the budget so that the budget and those assumptions are together.
I have no problem with that.
But we can look at that. Behind that is simply a roster of positions. That's this other document that we've got. And this it's not named by staff, but these are the positions that, in essence, we're funding and building into the budget that we created. So there is an executive director, a chief clinical officer, and then as the list goes down, you can see the record specialists we have, the nurses, the therapists, the residential technicians. This is basically the kind of the manning document of the center.
Are we Goldilocks? With employees, just right.
We've always got turnover, and we're always looking for something. But I think in the budget,
you can use that. By the way.
Yeah, I kind of. I'm going to try to figure out how does that really fit for me. Not too big, not too little, but for the most part, we're just about right. And the last document in your stack, just is, and we'll go through this a little bit, but I just want to make sure you know what's there, and that's the county match budget. That's the last. And I put two copies in there, one that says commission, you can hang on to that one, and the other eventually you can hand to your clerk if that's, or whoever manages that.
800 extra big ones.
And there are no changes to this, by the way, either from our discussion last month. So let me, maybe in summary, just kind of highlight on the screen. Here's just in a nutshell what's in that budget document. We were fortunate. And it's primarily due to population shifts. We were fortunate to see some additional state general fund dollars come to the center this year. Both, you'll see here, both mental health and at the state level and the federal block grant, there's about another $128,000 additional revenue. The impact of those changes on the county is what you'll see here in the variance column on your county match. That's about $28,000 difference in fiscal year 25 on county match than it was in fiscal year 24. Now, I don't know, Commissioner Almquist, if you how close you looked at the minutes that Ruth sent you.
Did you read them?
But basically,
let the record show that I gave no real response.
let me just highlight that last month, I believe Commissioner Cousins included a motion in the minutes that would all be picked up by Washington County.
Well, and, I've heard that, and I've even offered that.
Remember. And it's only in your minutes. It wasn't in the real minutes.
No. we just had to give you that copy.
Read it when you get back.
I think he was kidding.
Normally, yes. They just pick up Garfield County.
Yeah. So we'll go the whole route. Well, for Garfield this year, that was only $505 difference. I guess they thought they could stretch a little further.
Yeah.
We did see, this is a little unique, the federal substance abuse block grant up here on item 4. We did see almost $800,000 additional federal dollars, which is important, and it may. We saw a bit of a reduction in our drug court funding, and that's across the three counties. So we'll see, Kane will see a tiny reduction. It's again 63 across the center. If you look at proportionately, it could be about 10 or something thousand though to Kane County. We'll make sure that Rob and the team know what that is as it's appropriated.
Okay.
It did not have an impact this year on substance abuse county contributions. Those remain level. So it's really that 28,000 increase is really mental health. Medicaid. We did see, and that's part of what we just talked about $1,225,000. Capitated dollar increase. That's what we're requesting from Medicaid. As you'll notice, as we drop down to the expenses, we are, because of Medicaid demand, we are looking at hiring, and that's included in this budget, two additional therapists, two new case managers and peer support specialists that'll be included. One of our residential programs, as it's grown, we have taken three of the part-time residential techs and we've moved those to full-time with benefits. We also have a fully staffed receiving center in this budget, which we wouldn't have had in 2024. Mm-hmm. 2024, it looked a little different. But we are fully staffed there at the moment. Also, we talked about this last month. We've got two items in the under the personnel budget. We have both a cost of living adjustment And for some staff who are career service and who are in good standing, I mean, we talked about that, there will be a merit that will kick in the November time frame.
Where could you pass that up?
I know.
Yeah, she's going to miss that.
That's under the item one.
And that's all under personnel. Okay. And then if you look under benefits, under personnel as well, we talked about we remained with Select Health, so Intermountain Select Health continues to provide our health insurance coverage. They had originally asked for almost a 19% increase. Okay. We negotiated that down, and this is really all, I'm going to argue it's fluff and goodwill, because we did not change the plan this year. Last year we changed our health insurance plan. We increased the out-of-pocket. We increased the deductible a little bit. We managed to get down to 11% with the same plan. We have a couple of cases that are pretty high cost, which are really driving that increase. Where they'll be throughout this year and next, you just don't know. But right. I think they're giving us some goodwill. They didn't want to lose our – we did put it out to bid. We did look at PEHP and Humana. Or United Healthcare, I should say, a couple of others, but really we stuck with Select.
Now, we don't pay for Ozempic, do we? Unless it's for
correct.
The right.
Unless somebody is, I'll get a little too close, but it's like unless they're diabetic and this is the medication they need. It still could be weight loss, it still could be whatever, but it's going to go through the process that it's prescribed because of diabetes. Yeah.
We don't pay for Botox and
correct.
And those.
Correct. Right.
Sorry, Jerry.
Yeah, those remain elective.
Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure.
We talked at length last month, and I appreciated the comments from each of the commissioners about what you did in January. I realize we're on the offsetting fiscal year.
Right.
You're in the middle of yours, so I don't know if you know exactly what you'll be doing come next January yet for staff, but we did talk about what type of cost of living or what type of merit increases the counties have done. And last month, this felt pretty reasonable. Just as a reminder, COLA, so the cost of living, crosses all staff, whether they're part-time, non-benefited, career service, exempt. You know, that includes myself
merit
and our doctors. Merit, on the other hand, applies to our career service staff, benefited staff, not the exempt folks, not our doctors, and not our therapists at the moment, because we're on a market system with our therapists, market rate. So they're paid based on what we feel we need to pay, based looking at our communities. So that is in there. On the additional expenses in the budget, again, I know we talked last month. I'll just remind you that we have seen somewhat of a decrease in our inpatient hospitalization. That's a plus. Hopefully we can maintain that. We have also seen kind of a leveling of our subcontractor work with our Medicaid population. So we have still a significant number of contracts. We're probably one of the largest in the state, offsetting Salt Lake County in the number of subcontractors and the amount of work we're providing through those subcontractors.
Right.
But we did see about this $980,000 variance, so we've removed that from the budget. The balance of the operating costs, there's about a $300,000 increase, and that's all associated with cost of living. It's just everything's getting a little bit more expensive, utilities, services, subcontractors. We're seeing a lot of that.
But we're still 287,000 population all combined.
Yeah.
That's not surprising.
So it isn't. Bottom line, we still are projecting revenue over expense at the moment. Granted, it's not a substantial amount, but it is still revenue over expense. Medicaid, we'll see kind of where those numbers drive. So we do hope that this seems reasonable. We appreciated the discussion. We spent probably way more time than you desired last month as I went through line item. But would look for an approval of this budget and plan this fiscal year if you so desire.
Chair, can I make a motion?
Yes, please.
I'd like to move that this annual operating capital budget for fiscal year 2025, with the changes pointed out to us today, be approved.
I will second that motion.
Okay, so what we're going to do is take a vote on approval of the fiscal year 2025 budget, which will move it from a tentative budget to the adopted budget. And I'll take a vote on that now. All those in favor?
Aye.
Is that you, Commissioner Hollingshead, as well? Did you hear? Yes?
Commissioner Hollingshead, are you with us still?
Yes. Okay. Commissioner Hollingshead, aye.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Chair rules that carries unanimously, and we have adopted the fiscal year 2025 budget.
I'd like to make another motion.
Yes, I will accept a motion.
According to the director, it was asked that we use the annual financial plan in conjunction with the budget, that it also be approved. Does that require an action? It's not technically listed as one, but...
No, I don't think it does. We presented it. It's not something that the auditors necessarily will look at. They'll see our minutes that it was addressed. I think that's probably sufficient.
Sufficient? Yep. I just wanted to make sure that...
No, I think you're good. I appreciate you asking.
Okay, we have 7 minutes before the next meeting starts. Is there any
I'll give you
discussion or information?
Two quick items, if I may, and thank you for giving us your time this morning. One, out of this last legislative session, Senator Vickers here locally, and I think Senator Kennedy, no, I'll get it right, but anyway, Senator Vickers, under Senate Bill 27, proposed a new behavioral health commission to kind of oversee behavioral health services and plans across the state, and really would oversee a number of the other smaller boards and commissions that have already been in existence. We've had a crisis commission, and there's a licensing board, and so on. What was proposed is an 11-member commission, which includes individuals with lived experience with a mental health issue. Somebody will represent lived experience on the substance use side, somebody representing rural experience, somebody representing the state behavioral health system. And I think the nominee for that right now is Tracy Gruber, the department head of Health and Human Services. There's 11, and I probably can't get through all of them, but somebody who represents large corporations in the state, somebody who represents, I believe, hospital systems in the state. Our state association, UBIC, is supposed to appoint somebody who represents the county behavioral health system. Sure. So for right now, UBIC has asked me to take that appointment. I'm willing to do it. I mean, it's just part of what we do. I don't know if the Senate will have me do that. So they are supposed to have a confirmation hearing on Friday. So if I get appointed, I'll let you know that, if that meets our needs. I think the reason amongst, maybe there are a variety of reasons why, but Southwest really represents urban in our Washington County area. It's not the Wasatch Front, but it clearly is urban in its own right, as well as rural, as well as frontier. And so I would be one member of our system on that commission. The appointed individual who represents the rural area, specifically, that's been named by the Speaker of the House, and that's Kyle Snow, who is the director at Northeast Counseling. So we would at least be, our public system is represented on this 11-member commission.
Let's do it.
Any thoughts or concerns?
No, that sounds good. Does this board, when you say oversight, does the board have any authority?
So they are, the 11 members are not legislative members, which is interesting. They will have their own five-member board that feeds info into this commission. I think their intent was to have the commission remain somewhat separate from the executive and operates under the governor. But all they do is make recommendations. That's the expectation. We have our state master plan that they've been working, that Kim Gardner's worked on, but it's recommendations to the legislature. They do not write rule. Uh-huh. So no, we would not
and
do
then
that.
What was the second?
And then the second one was, I'm just going to look at you, Commissioner Almquist. We've built the receiving center, operating. We'll talk about that later, perhaps in another meeting. But we are kind of in initial plans of looking at our women's residential substance abuse facility. We have one in Cedar City today. We have Desert Haven, our women's with children in St. George today. We'd like to maybe see if the county would consider allowing us to use that property to the east of the receiving center, still between us, and actually, you know, it would still remain a separate facility from the 16 beds that are there, but it would give us a much better option to meet the needs of our women's residential than splitting it between our two programs. So we're just going to throw that initial thought out there, and we can have further discussion and see what the county might look. But I think as a center, that would be a great benefit to
My
do it this way.
My first response is that the $505 to Garfield would go away.
Yeah, yeah. We can make that happen.
I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Wait, I wasn't done.
Exactly. Second it yourself.
Second.
What we could do there.
All those in favor? Aye.
What we could do is that section that we planned for those doors to go out to expand the receiving center if ever necessary.
Yep.
I say receiving center because I see.
No, that's good.
But if you were to go a little closer to the road, maybe, I mean, how many?
So we could look.
Something of similar size to what the receiving center is?
No, oh no, no, nowhere near that size. I'll chat about it. We'll put some numbers and details together. More than anything, I just wanted to kind of throw that thought out, and we can begin to look at that.
The other thing I just noticed here is you say on the agenda, responsible person, and then you have Commissioner Cousins listed. Did we vote on that?
As him being responsible?
Yeah. I think, like, semi-responsible person.
We could do that. He's not here. Maybe that.
Florida today.
Whatever happens in Florida, he's responsible.
Yeah, exactly. Are we still recording?
We are.
Let's go. I don't mind that being a minute. Hey.